Don't you know how to respond to that? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Now, I want to walk you through a little bit about how this works. So as Liam started to talk about, today we're going to, if you want to look at where you need to put your sermon notes, and I would encourage you just to tape them in here from today. Look at page 11 in your journal. And if you don't have a journal, I think we have some more at the back. Please make sure you get one, because this individually, this is for you and your walk with God. So you can stick it right in there. See where it says weekend sermon notes? That's today. All right. Now go to page 23. You found it? It says day one at the top. Okay, here's how it's so simple, but I'm going to encourage you to do it. Set it a little notification on your watch in the morning. It's going to take you like 5 or 10 minutes. You read the passage on the left. See it in the box? Where's it from? John 15, right? You read it. Then you go to the other side and you go, what did you hear? What did God say to you as you read this passage this morning? What word or phrase was the most meaningful to you? Maybe as you read this, let me just give you an example. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe that's what stood out. And then, what does this passage mean to me? Well, this passage means to me that if I'm not abiding in Jesus, what good can I do for myself and for the world in spiritual terms? And then, what's your prayer? Just simply write out, Lord, help me to understand how to be abiding in you. In fact, I'd like you to do this right now. We got time, because I can take the time. On that page, for those of you that have that journal on day one, over on top of the verse, by the way, I give you permission to write in your journal. And if you make a mistake, just color it. Because if you've got my personality, I don't want to start, because if I spell a word wrong, I'm going, oh, nuts, I got to get another journal and start over again. So don't be like that. I want you to write out, what's your intention? What's one thing you would like to learn about prayer in these next 40 days? What's the thing that comes to your mind? Just write it down. I want you to write it down. The beginning of this page. Take a minute and do that. I'll spare you. I won't sing or hum. But take a minute. What is one thing, just one thing that you would like to learn about prayer? On the top of page 22, just write it in there. Take a moment. Say, Lord, I'd like to learn this about prayer. Because here's what I know. What you intend to learn, you're going to learn. Just what comes to your mind? And if you don't have a journal, write it on your sermon notes on the top. What is it? What is one thing I want to learn about prayer? Maybe it's about how to be consistent. Maybe it's about just being in God's word and hearing his voice. Maybe that's what you need to do. Okay? And maybe while we're going through this morning, something will come to your mind. I want you to write it in, so write it in that spot. Okay? You're good?
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome to our 40 days of prayer. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited. When we got here, there were some things that weren't working, and I said, you know what? If we didn't expect the enemy to be in opposition of what we're doing today, what are we thinking?
Yeah.
Here's what I know about the enemy's buffeting, if you want to call it that, just the word I'm going to use. Here's what I've learned over the years. The bigger the buffet, the bigger the blessing. I've had time and time where I was going to a conference and I was full of anxiety, I was full of stress, I didn't feel, started to feel good, and I finally realized that just meant I better get going because something good was going to happen. Okay? So why do we do 40 days of prayer? Why would we take this campaign that hundreds and thousands of churches have used and do it? Because most of the problems in life are because we're spiritually immature. Because what that means is it's because we've made bad decisions based on feelings rather than fact. Ask any car salesman. We don't have any in our church. But ask any car salesman, how do people buy cars? It's not logically, mostly. What is it? It's emotion. I like the look of that car. It makes me feel good. Right? Spiritual growth is God's will for your life and for my life. Let me give you an example. Babies are cute when they're small, but they're not cute when they're 40. They may be cute, but it'll be tragic that they don't learn. And I want to say this right at the get-go. I'm going to lean into you during these 40 days. You may not like me. That's okay, I'm not Stan. But I want to push you to think about things. I'm going to even say some things today that you might go, ooh, ouch. But it doesn't mean it's not true, and it doesn't mean I don't say it in love. Do you hear me now? Okay, it's not out of spite, it's about, I want this for you more than anything else. I've been waiting for this since November. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says this, we are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up, underline grow up, in every way into Christ. There are laws of spiritual growth that we cannot violate. And God is the God of order, and He makes things based on principles. He designed the universe based on the principles of physics, physical laws, like gravity and the second law of thermodynamics, and a lot of other laws that are what guide the universe and make the universe actually work. Do you ever wonder why the sun comes up the same spot every morning? And just like there are laws that God has put to keep our universe together, there are spiritual laws that He invented for your life and for my life. So today, I want to explain to you the underpinnings of where we're going. Every campaign, 40-day campaign, is built on 6 laws of spiritual growth. The first one is this. When we grow when we feed on God's Word. I want you to realize that this is your soul food. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4. People need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. Now let me ask you a question. What if you only ate one big meal every Sunday? Would you survive? Of course not. But yet for many of us, if we only get spiritually fed on Sunday mornings, what sustains us through the week? And that's why I want to encourage you to become a part of what we're doing. And every day, just take 5 minutes, go through every day the reading and responding. And if you're not a journaler, we're not asking you to journal. We're just asking you to answer some questions. What did God say to you? What does it mean to you? And then just say a prayer. Simple. But we want you to get into the habit of doing that. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Paul says, the word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has promised for His people. So how do you feed? For those that were in our journey class called the privilege, we talked about the 5 ways that we learn. Hear God's word, read God's word, study God's word, memorize God's word, meditate on God's word, and apply God's word. It's what we call the hand principle. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, and apply. And during these 40 days of prayer, we're going to use all of these 6 in our action steps as we go through it. So, hold up your journal. Hold up your journal. If you've ever wanted to consistently get into God's Word and to spend time in prayer, then this campaign is for you and for me. Number two, well, let's go back here. Let's look at your daily action step. Sorry, don't want to miss this. Is a daily time with God for 40 days. That's what this prayer journal is all about. That's the action step. I want you to take some time every day. It can be 5 minutes. If you got a little extra time, that's fine too. Every day for 40 days. And by the way, here's permission. If you miss one day, don't go, well, I'm quitting. When it comes to habits, and I've taught many, many people on habits, here's the principle. Don't miss 2 days in a row. Get back on the horse. Just so you know what? Don't beat yourself up. Don't go, well, oh man, I can't do this. No, get back on the horse and do it again. Just don't miss 2 days in a row. Okay? Here's the second principle. We grow when we learn in different ways. God loves diversity. He never copies. He never clones. We have a unique fingerprint. We have a unique eye print. And we have a very unique learning style. Every one of us learns differently. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 18. In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. Why did John the Baptist use many different styles of teaching? Because we all learn in different ways. Look in your outline here. There's four most common ones. By watching, which is auditory, or pardon me, by listening, which is auditory. By watching and reading, which is visual. And by talking, verbal or oral, and then by doing, physical or kinesthetic. You've got it, right? All different ways. Now, do you know which way you learn the best? Curious. Because that will affect how you're going to respond to what we're doing here. You need to learn. Some of you think out loud. That's why you get in a triad or you get in a small table. That's why on Tuesday nights we're going to be together. We're going to be talking together. Because some of you need to talk out loud to learn. And you're going to watch some videos. You're going to study together. Each year I take a course, and for the past years I was been listening because I was doing a lot of traveling. And what happened was this last year I decided to do an online virtual series, which was more of a video series, and I just was eating it up because I learned that I learn visually. Look what Job says. God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. I learned this from a long time ago from Rick Warren. I used to never do sermon outlines, never use sermon notes. And then one day he taught me, he said, why don't people grow? And he said, there's two reasons. He says, one, because they don't take notes, and so they forget. And the second one is they have different learning styles, and so what happens is if we don't adapt to the certain learning style, then they aren't going to be able to learn it. I'm so excited about how many people now take the sermon notes, because that's how you will learn. You will remember. You'll be able to go back and you'll be able to look and tape back into your notes. And then 4 or 5 weeks from now, you'll go back and go, remember what we learned from the first week we were together. In a campaign like this, we're going to use all four major learning styles. For reinforcement, we're going to hit all the nails four times. And perhaps we'll get the point. Some of you will get that later. Number three, you okay? All right, take a sip of your coffee. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. Your character is the sum of all your habits, friends. Your habits determine what you are, and what you are determines where you go in life. And your character is the sum total of your habits. You can't say, for instance, I'm a kind person. I have a character of quality of kindness, unless you're always kind. Unless it's habitual to you. It's not your habit to be kind then. If you're only kind 25% of the time, then you're not a kind person, right? Well, let's go a little deeper. If you say, well, I have integrity, I'm honest. If you're only honest 25% of the time, you don't have integrity. Integrity means you are habitually honest. You're habitually doing the right thing. Now, if I said to my wife, honey, I'll be faithful with you 28 days of the month. I'm glad she's not here. Partial faithfulness is what? Unfaithfulness. Partial obedience is disobedience. I can't say that I'm a faithful husband if I'm not faithful all the time. If I'm only faithful some of the time, then it's not a habit in my life. It has to become a habit in your life. And there are lots of habits that you will need to grow in your spiritual life. They're called spiritual disciplines. They're called devotional practices, habits of prayer, quiet time, personal Bible study, solitude, tithing. By the way, I want to just appreciate you taking the time to respond last week. We have some new tithers that are trusting God for the next 90 days in this church. Will you pray with me for them? That God will just pour out his blessing on them. That's part of our spiritual growth, folks. Fellowship, fasting, serving, listening, journaling, they're all building blocks. We will also be introducing to you what we've been doing through this whole journey class. And after we're done the 40 days, we'll have another one for those of you that want to take that next step in becoming a part of what we're doing. So how do you develop habits? Write this down, two words. Repetition and practice. Repetition and practice. Study after study shows it takes 6 weeks for you to develop a new habit. 6 weeks. You have to do something every day, whether it's you want to exercise or diet or a spiritual habit or anything else. You've got to do it every day for 6 weeks before it becomes a natural part of your life. John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says, Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you practice them. What happens when you practice good habits? You grow up. Both physically, spiritually, emotionally, even financially, if you have good habits. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 said, solid food is for the mature, whose minds have been trained by patience to know the difference between, underline this, good and evil. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is successful people develop habits that others won't. All you have to do is look at some of the athletes that have been known to be just incredible athletes year after year after year. I mean, why has Tom Brady been able to, up until now, he's retired again, but up until now, been able to continue on? Why? Because if you know anything about what he does, he has incredible discipline and habits so that he's always prepared. Every day, the first thing he gets up in the morning and he drinks 20 ounces of water right off the bat. There's a whole list of all the things he does to stay in his peak mental, physical, and emotional shape. He's willing to pay the price. He developed the habits and they're paying off for him, and other people aren't willing to pay the price to develop these habits. And he's still around being the best, even though he may be the oldest. But he's still going on. Friends, most of us are not willing to be that disciplined. Everybody marvels at Connor McDavid. He's an incredible, incredible hockey player. But what nobody really talks about is how disciplined he is about the basics of training and being sharp and learning to grow every year. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, all good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever. During the 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on four habits to strengthen you. In your notes, you'll see them. The habit of weekly large group worship. That's Sunday mornings. That's the weekends. That's what we're doing here. The habit of small group or triad fellowship. That's what we're going to be doing on Tuesdays. It's what we call our midweek lift. And I encourage you, if you can be here, be here. Because it's just going to encourage you to continue to develop and continue to do the habits necessary for going through your journal. How did Jesus structure the church for your support? Well, both large and small. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Every day the believers had the habit of meeting together in the temple courts to worship together, and also in their homes for fellowship. They ate together and celebrated with happy and thankful hearts. They praised God, and the whole community liked what they saw in these people. And as a result, the Lord added to their groups daily as their neighbors were being saved. We need both to be a strong believer. We need the worship aspect of being together on a Sunday morning, and we also need being together in a triad or small group. And then there's two other times, the habit of daily prayer alone with God, that's prayer and Bible we read, and the memorizing of God's word. Would you like to succeed in your life? I want you to. The only promise of success, God's success in the Bible, is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Look at what it says. Always remember what is written in this book. Read it and think about it every day, and be sure to obey everything written in it. If you do this, you will be prosperous and successful in your life. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think God's lying here? Do you think he's just teasing us? Do you think God's just making this up? No, no. Now, to help you with these four habits, we've designed this guidebook, this journal, so that you can use it for 40 days. That's what this is for. We're not making money off of this. We're losing money off of this. But it's a tool that we know that you need in order to develop the four habits that we want to learn as we continue to grow spiritually. All right, number four. You okay? We grow when we help each other grow. Spiritual growth is relational. We are better together. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 12. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. The fact is that we need to grow. You can never grow spiritually all by yourself. You must have other people in your life. In fact, if there's anything that we learned about COVID, is that some people went backwards because they didn't have people in their life, because they couldn't get to be with people. So God wired us this way to be in relationship with people. There are 56 one another's in the New Testament. Pray for one another, encourage one another, love one another, forgive one another. Pray one another. All kinds of them. Serve one another. Help one another. Share with one another. Build each other up. You know what the passage says when Paul said, can the hand say to the eye, I don't need of you? Or the eye say to the foot, I don't need you either? No. What is it? It basically is saying we need each other. Because the number one skill that God wants you to learn is love. And you can't learn that by yourself. We only grow in the community with other people. Jesus didn't isolate himself from the lost. He was criticized because he ate with them. He visited their homes. He embraced the lepers. You need people in your life who sometimes think differently than you, that challenge your self-centeredness. I always kind of marveled when I would marry a young couple and everything would be wonderful, and then they're going to tell me they're having a baby. And I said, are you ready for what's coming? Oh, yeah, we're ready. I said, just talk to me after your baby's born. And all of you who have had babies, you know exactly what I'm going to say. You don't know how selfish you are until you have a child. No, it's your turn to go get them out of the crib. No, it's your turn. You pretend to sleep. Like you've had a sleeping pill and you can't get woken up. Of course, that's how we learn how to love. That will teach you to be giving. It will teach you to think about other people. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. So here's the action step for you. Join into a small group or a triad on Tuesday. If you haven't got a small group or if you haven't got a triad, I want you to come this Tuesday. And we'll hook you in with a group because it's so vital for you to be a part of it. You want to grow? You say, well, I'm not willing to pay the price. Then you're willing to be immature, friends. Because that's the choice. Number five, we grow when we expect to grow. That's the faith factor here, friends. Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you know what God is doing in your life right now? What do you expect him to do? Are you expecting to grow in these 40 days? Are you expecting a miracle in these 40 days? Are we expecting a breakthrough in our church in these 40 days? What are we expecting, God? We need to set a goal. One of the things that we're going to be committing to pray for is we're going to zero in on some of our missionaries that we have committed to praying for. And we're going to zero in, and we want you to collectively partner with us in praying that God will bring us the lead pastor that's going to take us into this next chapter. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I expect. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Bob, how come we haven't got a pastor yet? Oh, it's simple. We're not ready. Now, that might sound harsh, but all I'm saying is we're not ready and they're not ready. When we're ready, they might be ready. I trust God to do that. He's done it before. He'll do it again. You need to start this campaign with a spirit of faith. Write this down. I am going to grow a lot in the next 40 days. I'm going to grow a lot in the next 40 days. Not a matter of can you, it's a matter of will you. All right, we're almost home. Number six, we grow when we commit to grow. The fact is that growth is not automatic. It has to be intentional, has to be a choice. Many of you know that I work with companies outside of my ministry portfolio. On Thursday, I flew to Victoria. I've been invited by a company that I've been working with for 10 years to speak at their AGM. The boss wanted me to get in front of their people because they are so committed this year to personal development and leadership development. And guess what I talked about? Growth is not automatic. You've got to be intentional. It's incredible how many people won't even read a book after they graduated. They don't even go to a library. You must choose to grow. You must choose to do the habits. You must choose to make the effort. It's your choice to make. So here's a question. 1 year from today, will you be spiritually stronger? Only if you intend to. Only if I'm intentional about what I'm doing about this growth. Let me ask you a very personal question. How badly do you want to grow? Do you really want to grow up spiritually? Or do you just want to stay a spiritual baby? What are you willing to do? Do you intend to be stronger or still stuck in the same old problems you are right now? We want you more mature. Do you want to be more mature, or do you want to still stay the same way that you are right now? It's your choice. Hear my heart on this, but I'm going to be blunt. You're as close to God as you choose to be. You might want to write that one down. That's truth. You're as close to God as you choose to be. It's your choice. If you feel far from God, God hasn't moved. You can be a victim or you can be a victor. Don't blame. Take responsibility for your life and say, okay, Lord, I want to grow. Here's a great verse. Jeremiah 29, 13. You will find me when you get serious about finding me and wanting it more than anything else. So what's the action step here? That you covet with one another to grow. Say to the people around your table, I need to be here. I want to be here. Remind me to be here. Hold me accountable to be here. Nehemiah 9, verse 38 says, in view of all this, we are making a covenant together in writing, and all of us are signing our names to it. A covenant. We grow faster when we make a decision with other people and we do it in community. A covenant. It's easier to change when other people are changing with you. It's easier to go on a diet when other people are on a diet with you. It's easier to exercise when you've got a partner. It's easier to grow when you make a covenant to grow with other people. Now, this is a covenant. But you might be saying, well, I don't know if I want to make a covenant with God. Why not? You make covenants with everybody else. You can't do anything in this life without making a covenant, friends. When you buy a car, you can't buy a car without signing a covenant that you'll pay it off in so many months. You can't rent a house or buy a house without making a covenant that I'll make these payments every week. You can't get a job without making a covenant. A covenant to be there and to show up and actually get the work done. You can't get married without making a covenant till death do us part. You can't do anything in life without a covenant and a commitment. The epitome of immaturity is someone who won't commit to anything. The fear of commitment is the ultimate example of immaturity, friends. The only way you grow is by making commitments and growing into it. You might say, well, I don't think I know what to do. Of course you don't know what to do. You make the commitment, then you grow into it. Some of you, when you got married, you said, well, let's have kids. And you made a commitment to be a parent. Did you know how to be a parent? No, not a single person knows how to be a parent before they're a parent. What happens? You make the commitment and then you grow into being parents. I'm asking you to make a commitment to the most important thing in your life, your spiritual growth. Why am I committed to your personal growth? Because I want you to grow up. So the bottom line is this. What are you going to do for the next 7 weeks? Because you got two choices. Do nothing and miss out and watch everyone else grow and benefit from it. Or get serious about the most important part of your life, and that's to develop some new habits to create your destiny in prayer. The choice is yours. My invitation is, we're doing everything we can possible to invite you to be a part of this. Tuesday nights at 6:30, we're going to feed you. Now, it's not going to be a 14-course meal. Might be soup and a bun. And if you're not able to eat a bun, bring your own. Trying to think of the word, it's just gone. If you're gluten-free, bring your own gluten-free bun. Or a piece of sawdust, whatever, block of wood. Here's Tuesday night. I'm not going to let you, it's not going to be a surprise. We're going to eat from 6:30 till 7. At 7 o'clock, we're going to watch, I'm going to pray, we're going to watch a video for 18 minutes. It's going to be Rick Warren teaching us about the lesson that's in your journal. Just a heads up. And then we're going to do 20 minutes of discussion around our tables. What did you hear God say? The questions are already in the book. And then we're going to invite you to pray together. And some of you are going to be terrified about that. You don't have to just be here. I'm sure there'll be somebody at your table that can pray. But I want you to come. Will you pray with me? Father, I look out on these people and I love them. They're good people. They've been through a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows, crushing grief and sorrowing joys. Lots of different experiences in their life. I do believe that our best days are ahead of us, God. And I commit to moving myself first and everyone else to deeper levels of maturity and growth. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on what you've got in store for us. We want all the blessings. If we just do what you say to do, you say our lives will be successful. I pray a blessing on every person here and every person watching online as they go into the next 40 days. We will go into it with anticipation and expectation. It'd be a waste of time for us to do this and not do it in faith. So thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life and in the lives of everyone here who chooses. We know that growth is a choice. And we pray that we will build these habits into our lives and we will become truly women of God and men of God in a world that is filled with unstable, flaky, uncommitted people. And I pray this blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.